Hey there, agility friend. If you've listened to a few of my podcast episodes, you know that I'm a huge fan of something called growth mindset. You can have access to the best instruction in the world, and you can have the best dog in the world, and the best skills in the world, but if you don't have a solid mindset and approach to the challenges that sport and life are going to toss your way, you're not going to be able to really make the most of all of those bests that you have, you know, best instruction, best dog, best skills, all that stuff. I'm so passionate about the importance of our mindset when it comes to dog agility and really everything in life that I've written an ebook about growth versus fixed mindset, what the hallmarks of those two mindsets are, and how one can really propel you along your agility journey and one may really be holding you back, maybe without you even being aware of it. That ebook is not for sale anywhere, but it is available for free to subscribers of my email list. So if you're curious about what a growth mindset is, what a fixed mindset is, and how to ensure that you've got the right mindset for making the most of your dog agility training and handling journey, head to podcast.theagilitychallenge.com and scroll down till you see the link to subscribe to my email list and get that ebook. It's totally free and it's a game changer. Check it out today at podcast.theagilitychallenge.com. This is the Agility Challenge Podcast with Daisy Peel. You're listening to episode 10. Welcome to the Agility Challenge Podcast. I'm your host, Daisy Peel. Join me as I talk about everything related to the mental side of the sport of dog agility. If you've ever felt overwhelmed by negative self-talk or lack of confidence, or if your dog training to-do list seems so long that you don't even know where to get started, then this podcast is for you. For more podcast episodes, training content, and coaching from me, head to www.theagilitychallenge.com, where members get access to monthly training and handling challenges, in addition to league play and a whole lot more. Let's dive in with today's episode. Today I'm going to talk about something that I see a lot, and to be honest, it's something that I have engaged in myself in the past a time or two. And it's definitely a process for me to stay out of, and that is self-sabotage. Now, I've talked a lot about something called the thought model in previous episodes, and that's where objective circumstances trigger thoughts that you have about those objective circumstances, and then those thoughts pretty much immediately trigger feelings about the thoughts that you had about this objective circumstance. And then those feelings typically drive our actions. And then our actions tend to yield results that validate our original thoughts. So, for example, if we see somebody with a great running dog walk, let's drill down a little bit more than that. Let's say that we see somebody who has a running dog walk that we would like, and we want to train a running dog walk on our dog. So that's kind of the objective circumstance. But then we immediately have the thought that, oh, I've never done it before, so I'm never going to be able to do this properly. And then we pretty quickly get these feelings of insecurity and fear of failure and sort of timidity, and we sort of shrink up. And then that causes us to take actions. Typically, those actions are we either don't seek the right help for getting help training the behavior, or we just don't show up to train the behavior like we should. We don't put in the time that we need to. And then we end up with a subpar behavior on this particular contact because of something we did or didn't do along the way. And then that just wraps right back into the original thought of, I'll never be good enough to train this behavior. So that's kind of what I talk about with the thought model. Self-sabotage is one of those things that falls into the action line of that thought model that I just described. So again, objective circumstances trigger thoughts, which trigger feelings that cause us to take actions that yield results that then validate our thoughts, the evidence of our initial thoughts. We believe them to be true. So self-sabotage goes into the action phase of that thought model. And it's a way that we react to our emotions. It's actions that we take. And actions, things that we do to ourselves as though we don't have any control over that stuff. Like we're not doing it, like we're not doing it, like it's just happening to us. So the first big thing to recognize about self-sabotage is that it's a choice. These actions are actions that you're taking on purpose in order for us to call it self-sabotage. It's it's choices and actions that you are making on purpose so that you can feel differently about something. It's an action that you're taking so that you can buffer yourself against some sort of feeling. And it's usually negative feelings that, or feelings we would describe as negative, like shame or hurt feelings or inadequacy or fear of failure or nervousness or anxiety, those sorts of things. And typically, when we engage in self-sabotage, there is a payoff in the short term because the actions that we take do help us to avoid all of those negative emotions. But long term, there's a penalty. We're basically kicking the can down the road to our future selves to deal with it because we just don't want to deal with it at the moment. So what exactly is self-sabotage? If we were going to define self-sabotage, how would we actually define it? I'm going to define self-sabotage as creating unnecessary problems for yourself that interfere with your goals. No matter how large or small those goals are, self-sabotage is the process of creating unnecessary problems that are going to interfere with those goals. And the reason that it's so kind of a disappointment when we sabotage ourselves is that when we make goals, whether they're long-term goals or short-term goals, goals are something that are so unique to us as humans. It's sort of like it's just a hallmark of our most imaginative and creative selves. Our lizard brain is definitely not making goals. Our lizard brain is not making short-term goals or plans or long-term goals or plans. It wants food. It wants sleep. It wants comfort. It wants to reproduce. It wants to stay alive and not get eaten by a predator. And that's about it. But when we make short or long-term goals, that is just the coolest thing that a human brain can do. Setting and fulfilling goals are two of the most amazing things that we as human beings can do as imaginative, creative, and amazing creatures. We can plan ahead days, weeks, months, years even. And then we can commit to our beliefs and our plans and our goals and follow through and do some pretty amazing stuff, even if the process isn't comfortable all the time. And that's a pretty amazing process for a creature to be able to engage in. But a lot of us set goals and then immediately set about to sabotage ourselves when it comes to really getting after and achieving those goals. And there are a number of different ways that we might engage in self-sabotage. Procrastination is a form of self-sabotage where we procrastinate because we're afraid that we'll fail, or we're afraid that we'll make a poor decision, or that we won't get the result we want right away. So we kind of just put it off and put it off and put it off. Buffering, or what I like to call buffering, is another form of self-sabotage. So overeating, overdrinking, over-Facebooking, overspending, watching too much television, binging on things, that's buffering. That's a form of self-sabotage. So if we are wanting to be faster or better handlers and we stress out about it and we overeat and overdrink and over Facebook, then we're spending our time in ways that are sabotaging our goals of being fitter, faster, maybe less joint inflammation, that sort of thing. Not showing up is another form of self-sabotage. And when I say not showing up, I mean literally just failing to keep commitments that require you to show up. So signing up for a class and not showing up, signing up for a workshop and not showing up, signing up for a competition, paying your money even, and then just not showing up. That's a form of self-sabotage. There are other forms of not showing up. Not giving it your all is a form of not showing up where you're there in body, but not in spirit. So you don't really try your hardest. That's a form of self-sabotage. Another form of self-sabotage is quitting. So if you just quit when things don't come along fast enough, when we don't see results immediately, that's a form of self-sabotage. And then there are plenty of us who just stop setting goals entirely because we can get into this habit, this cycle of self-sabotage, and we realize right off the bat that it's pointless to try and stop the cycle, that we're going to sabotage ourselves anyways. And so we just don't even bother setting goals. I'm just not going to have any goals. But really, it's kind of a shame because this whole cycle of self-sabotage is It's completely doable to get out of that cycle. It's completely doable to get out of the habit of self-sabotage and replace that habit and that cycle with other habits and cycles of habits. And also at the same time, it's okay to recognize that it's normal for us as human beings to not only be amazing and creative and imaginative, but it's also totally normal for us to just get in our own way. And the reason is, I like to think of it as our higher brain, our imaginative creative brain, and our lizard brain. Our lizard brain, it wants pleasure, it wants comfort. And a lot of the times our behavior is driven in a fashion that directs us away from discomfort and towards comfort and pleasure. But since you're a human being and you have not just a lizard brain, but also this higher imaginative, creative, amazing human brain, you can understand that tendency. And if you're aware of it, you can catch yourself and override it. And that's kind of what all of these podcast episodes keep coming back to, that tension between our lizard brain and our higher self, if you want to call it that. Now, how do you know if you may be in a cycle of self-sabotage? Well, there are three ways to know, three sort of tests that you can run. One, you don't have any goals, not even one, not a small goal, not a medium-sized goal, not a large goal, not a super-sized goal, nothing. And this is often the case when people say, oh, I never sabotage myself. What are you talking about? This whole topic is so stupid. I never engage in self-sabotage. What a dumb conversation this is. But often when people say they never sabotage themselves, it's because if you ask that person, if you probe at it, and usually it's not really appropriate unless you're their instructor or their coach. If you ask them what their goals are, usually there aren't any. I don't have any goals. And when you start kind of digging into it, it's sort of this whole cycle of, well, if I don't try, I can't fail. I can't be disappointed if I don't have expectations or goals. And this is the kind of self-sabotage that's just sort of like cutting things all the way off at the root. It's like cutting the tree or the plant off at the soil line. You're just not even going to get started. You're just sabotaging yourself right away. You don't even know what you're capable of because you don't have any goals. And you don't have any goals because you don't want to sabotage yourself. And so instead of learning how to not engage in self-sabotage, we just walk away from the whole process. So that's one. Two is the second reason you might be engaged in a cycle of self-sabotage is a lack of awareness. So this is for those folks who aren't even aware of what's going on in their lives to know if they're engaged in self-sabotage. This may or may not be any of you listening, or maybe you can think of somebody you know who would claim that they're not engaged in self-sabotage, but also they're really not aware of what's going on in their lives. And that's sort of the attitude, well, if I don't look, I don't know. And if I don't know, it's not a problem. And I have to say, I do this with food in the fridge all the time. My husband calls these my science experiments. That yogurt jar in the back of the fridge, I don't know what's in there. I'm not going to look, so there's no problem. So that's the second way that people might be engaged in a cycle of self-sabotage, is a sort of a willing failure to not look, to not be aware. The third way that we tend to engage in self-sabotage, and I actually see this quite a bit, and this is a form of self-sabotage that I have to work at continually to avoid, and this happens to those of us who have been in the sport a little bit longer typically, is focusing on the past excessively. So that's a form of self-sabotage, absolutely. Focusing on past successes, past accomplishments, past failures, you name it. Focusing on the past and using stuff from the past to justify not moving forward is absolutely a form of self-sabotage. And it kind of all boils down to the beliefs that we have about our self-efficacy, our effectiveness as a human being. And in this context, because we're looking at this in the context of dog agility and dog sports, it boils down to the beliefs that we have about our self-efficacy as trainers and as handlers and as dog owners, what we're capable of and what we're not capable of. When we have beliefs about what we will or won't achieve or what we can and can't achieve when it comes to a certain goal that we may want to set for ourselves or that we have set for ourselves, those beliefs can lead to self-sabotage. if there's any doubt or frustration or discomfort that's associated with a goal, then that's where self-sabotage is going to rear its ugly head. A pretty good example is if I want to go on a diet. If I want to go on a diet, I have to think not only about calorie restriction or the kinds of foods that I'm going to eat, but I also need to account for the ways in which I may engage in self-sabotage and when those things are likely to pop up. So I have to think about making plans for preventing self-sabotage. I have to figure out how to prevent procrastination, buffering, quitting, failure to show up. Because what happens if there's any doubt or frustration or discomfort associated with a goal and self-sabotage rears its ugly head, we're going to procrastinate, we're going to buffer, we're going to fail to show up, and we're going to perpetuate this idea that we weren't capable anyways, so why bother trying? And then what gets to be even worse about this is that this cycle becomes a habit, and then it becomes part of our identity. So instead of being a person who procrastinates, we start to believe that we are a procrastinator. We start to believe that we're only capable of a certain level of achievement or a certain level of skill or a certain amount of success or whatever. So setting goals, big or small, is a great way to chase after things you'd like to achieve because you're going to make some plans based on those goals and you're going to engage in the behaviors that will get you closer to that goal, et cetera, et cetera. But again, if you set goals and then you fail to address some of the underlying habits that you already have and the thought patterns that you've already been engaging in, it's going to be really tough to achieve those goals. You're going to have to do some of the underlying work on those thoughts and feelings first. And one of the biggies, and we actually talked about this in a recent office hours session for Agility Challenge members, is the thought that I'm not worthy or that I don't deserve this. And that's a really big, tough, heavy thought for a lot of us to carry around. I'm not worthy of a result. I'm not capable of a result. I'm not fast enough. I'm not young enough. I'm not good enough. So feelings and thoughts like that have to be dealt with first. You're going to have to, in your goal setting, include plans for those thoughts and feelings and the resulting actions that you might engage in that are going to end up being self-sabotage. So if you start engaging in feelings of I'm not worthy, are you going to avoid training? Are you going to avoid showing up? Are you going to quit on your goal? Are you going to procrastinate on the things that will get you closer to your goal because they make you feel uncomfortable? If you need to get up an hour earlier in the morning to do some gym workout so that you can become more physically fit, it's going to be really tough if you wake up every morning feeling like you're not worthy. So what's the point and why bother? Maybe I'll just go back to bed because that's a lot more comfortable. So you're really going to have to evaluate why these feelings that you have are cropping up and how they could lead to self-sabotage, like quitting, buffering, procrastinating, etc. So why is it that when we start to get afraid that we won't be able to do something, we overeat or we spend too much time online or we get distracted by other activities that involve our time? What is it that we're really feeling and thinking in those moments? And this is where it gets a little bit tricky because a lot of us do this with, like, we just don't even think about it consciously. We just have a moment where we're not even sure why, but we reach into our pocket and we grab our phone and we crack open Twitter, Facebook, TikTok, social media of some sort. So have you ever asked yourself just before you crack open your phone to get on social media in that moment, what were you feeling at that moment that gave you the urge to go down that rabbit hole? Now, I'll give you an example because this has happened to me. It happens to me all the time. And the reason that I have noticed that this happens to me is that I took a moment to think about, why am I doing this? Why in this moment am I reaching into my pocket to get on Facebook? And what else could I be doing? So here's an example. I'm talking with a friend at a competition. We're just standing around chatting and the friend leaves to go do something else. And I'm standing there alone for the briefest of moments. And what do? I reach into my pocket, grab my phone, look down on my screen, and make myself look busy. And I know that I do that because I have that moment where I'm thinking, I don't want people to see me by myself. It's such a strange moment. Now, I could absolutely 100% scan the room and look for someone else, whether they're on their phone or not, because if they're looking down at their screen, they're probably not doing something all that important. And if they are, they'd tell me. But I could just look around the room and go find someone else to talk to and ask them how their day was, or how their last run was, or how their dog was doing. So it's a weird response. And so I encourage you to ask yourself why you're engaging in some of those behaviors. So that's just an example of a way that we buffer. So, I mean, that has nothing to do with goal setting, but that's absolutely an example of buffering. I have that moment where I feel like, oh my God, I don't want to be seen alone. Look busy, quick, get the phone out, crack open Twitter, Facebook, TikTok, whatever. So that I look not alone. And of course, the sad thing is if you look around a room and you see a room filled with people looking down at their phones, everybody's alone, but they could be talking to each other. It's pretty weird, but that's kind of a sidetrack. But that is a perfect example of buffering because we're engaging in ultimately a non-productive, self-sabotaging behavior when we don't want it. We don't want to feel like we're alone. And so we immediately engage in a behavior so that we won't feel alone. But ironically, we are still alone. The point is, we have to plan on how we aren't going to give in to those things that create self-sabotage. Primarily those thoughts and feelings that lead us to actions that are actions that we could categorize as self-sabotage. And emotional management is the key here. We need to become aware of what we're feeling. We need to learn how to process what we're feeling. And we need to get okay with the idea that about half the time, those emotions that we're feeling may be uncomfortable. Half the time, maybe more. But that doesn't mean something has gone wrong. And thinking that we should be happy all the time can lead to self-sabotage behaviors. And it's okay to not be happy. It's okay to be uncomfortable. It's okay to be miserable and get out of the bed and still work out. It's okay to not be feeling at your best and still go show up and train. It's okay to not be feeling at your prettiest and still go hang out with your friends or go out on that date or whatever. It's okay to get up out of bed an hour early, even if you don't feel great. And I've talked a lot about motivation. Every Monday, I post nice quotes on Facebook and social media and in emails about motivation and grit and things like that. And we've had discussions about how the motivation stuff is good. And my goal is to provide you guys with maybe a little kick in the pants. But ultimately, you don't need to feel happy and motivated in the moment to do a thing. Sometimes you just do it despite feeling gross or icky or tired, or for me, a lot of the times I just feel, just meh. Now, if you genuinely need rest, then that's one thing. And you should absolutely sleep in. You should absolutely take a break. But if you're engaging in feeling a little sorry for yourself or feeling some self-pity, then you have to know that that's going to prevent you from pursuing your goals, whatever they may be. And if you tell yourself that I don't need to show up, I can procrastinate, it doesn't really matter, I don't really matter, then I'm in the spiral of self-sabotage. And if you're telling yourself that this doesn't really matter, I don't really matter, then you are 100% in the spiral of self-sabotage. And when it comes to emotional management, emotional management means choosing to experience all emotions. And again, this is in life and certainly in dog sports, dog training, in the competitive environment. Emotional management means choosing to experience all emotions, whether you're happy or sad or bummed out or whatever. And it does seem like there's a strong pressure to just always be happy, but it's just not realistic to be happy all the time or to be excited all the time. But it's okay. You can accept that you may not feel amazing or happy all the time. And emotional management means not resisting some emotions, particularly those that may make you feel uncomfortable, like frustration or fear or disappointment or shame or humiliation, and just let those emotions on in. And if you just accept them and just let them on in, like I talked about in a previous episode, just pack them in your backpack and put them on your back and go on about your business, it absolutely makes them less uncomfortable because you become accustomed to what it feels like and you know, I'm not going to die. It's going to be okay. I might learn something, might be a little awkward, but I'll be okay. And then those uncomfortable emotions aren't such a big deal. They're just a part of life and they're part of the amazing experience of life. And again, in this small context, that part of the amazing experience of dog training, dog agility, all of it though. If I am accepting of all of my emotions, then I'm much less likely to engage in self-sabotage. I'm less likely to engage in escapism, behaviors where I'm escaping things. Again, whipping out my phone and getting on social media. Or going to the kitchen cabinet. I'm less likely to engage in buffering activity, like overeating, overdrinking, over anything, basically, indulging. And if I'm accepting of all of my emotions, my full emotional range, then I'm not going to need to compensate for having negative emotions. I can recognize them as part of the normal human experience. Now, I know that some of you may be saying, I don't have negative emotions 50% of the time. There's something wrong with you, Daisy. What is wrong with you? Then I'm going to put forward that you may not be pursuing goals that are big enough for your potential. And you may just be kind of hiding from yourself. Because it's not normal to feel one emotion all the time. It just isn't. It's not normal to be angry all the time. It's not normal to be sad all the time. It's not normal to be happy all the time either. As human beings, we can experience such a full and wide range of emotions, and we're just constantly, a lot of us, resisting those ones that feel uncomfortable. And those of us who work on it are a little bit better off. And then you'll see someone every once in a while who just seems so comfortable with the full range of emotions that they're just very open and vulnerable. And you can just tell when you're around those people usually that, wow, this person, they've really mastered it. And there's just a sense that we have that, wow, I want to be around this person because I can tell they are experiencing all of it. Now, in the last episode, which was about other people's opinions, I did get a few comments when I took a stance about other people's opinions. Or maybe it was because I admitted that I don't love every puppy I meet. But I'm betting I'm going to get some pushback on this one as well. Because people are going to say, you can absolutely be happy all the time, but I'm going to stand by it. The full range of human emotion is pretty cool. Why would we avoid experiencing it? We avoid experiencing it because some of those emotions that we encounter make us uncomfortable. But if we aren't going to truly experience the whole range of human emotion and feelings about life, or more specifically, dog training, dog handling, competition, if we're not going to allow for some lows, it's going to keep us from also experiencing the highs. So if you train yourself to never emotionally respond to anything, then yes, you will avoid feeling uncomfortable and you will avoid feeling frustrated, but you are also going to avoid feeling amazing. So I know I'm going to get some pushback on this probably, but I'm going to stand by it on this one. Also, when it comes to emotional management so that we can avoid self-sabotage, resisting these things, and I talked about this when I talked about experiencing anxiety and nervousness, resisting these emotions and feelings often creates more friction than simply accepting them would. So when I talked about nerves and nervousness, when you're stepping into the ring, you've got your dog at your side, you're about to step into the competition ring by yourself, you're feeling isolated, you're feeling alone, you're feeling vulnerable, you're feeling nervous. You can just pack those feelings into that little mental backpack, put it on your back and go into the ring. You don't have to not experience them, but the idea that we spend so much time resisting those feelings and trying to tamp them down instead of just saying, all right, well, I guess I feel nervous today. Let's pack that in the backpack and carry it along. When you spend a lot of energy resisting those feelings and going into the ring just consumed by the effort to not feel that way, then you're spending a lot of energy not thinking about your mechanics, like your handling and training mechanics, your strategy, your timing, the dog that you've got at the other end of the leash that may need some reinforcement or some focus behaviors or something like that. And it's just like that. Accepting something does not mean eliminating it. It doesn't mean I feel nervous. I need to stop feeling nervous. That's resisting. I feel uncomfortable. I need to stop feeling uncomfortable. That's resisting. Accepting is just, all right, I feel uncomfortable. Getting up in the morning sucks. I really hate getting up in the morning, but I'm going to do it anyways. because I know that it will get me a little bit closer to the things that I want to get closer to. So we procrastinate because we'd rather not work at something than we would work at something. We don't show up, whether it's physically or metaphorically, because we don't want to experience rejection or put in the energy that it takes to show up. We kind of just go under the covers and hide in our bed, either for real or metaphorically. And sometimes this is about discomfort. A lot of the time it's about discomfort. We just want to seek comfort and avoid discomfort. And sometimes it's about control. When it's about discomfort, we're just kicking the can down the road to our future selves instead of dealing with the discomfort now. And if we don't deal with it now and engage in self-sabotage and prevent ourselves from achieving the goals that we may have set for ourselves, whether it's a small training goal or a handling goal or a competitive goal, then later on when we evaluate our failure to have achieved those goals, we realize that we've engaged in a cycle of self-sabotage, then we're going to have to carry that around too. So instead of just carrying around some discomfort and going for it anyways, if you kick the can down the road, you're going to have dealt with the discomfort now that you're feeling anyways. You're already feeling uncomfortable. You might as well go for it. And we're not going to have gotten as close to our goals as we wanted. And we're going to be dealing with the knowledge that we sabotaged ourselves if we kick the can down the road. And there are really two cycles that we could be engaging in. There's the self-sabotage cycle, but then there's another cycle that we could be engaging in if we want to get away from self-sabotage and toward behavior that's more effective and leads to a higher sense of self-efficacy and progress toward our training and competitive goals. The more we win, the more we want to win. The more we work out, the more we want to work out. The more energy we put into showing up, the more energy we have to show up. And I'll go back to that example. It's not a goal-related example, but I'll go back to my example of that moment where I feel like, oh my gosh, I'm alone. I don't want anyone to see me standing here alone, look busy. If I took a moment to go connect with someone else in the room, that's a pretty amazing experience because number one, I'm not going to feel lonely anymore. I am going to be busy with someone in the room and I'm going to be making someone else's day better because odds are that other person got busy on their phone right away so that they didn't look alone and so that they looked busy. So that's a little cycle that I've been engaging in that has been very, very reinforcing. So habits are habits either way, whether you're engaging in a cycle of self-sabotage or whether you're engaging in a cycle of behavior that might be uncomfortable, but definitely leads you away from self-sabotage and towards goal achievement. It's a series of habits and actions. So you have to think about whether it's worth it to hold on to behaviors like procrastination, buffering, not showing up, and quitting. And I just can't emphasize this enough, how much this relates to pretty much everything in life. So if we're talking about dog training and handling, if we're talking about competitive results, if we're talking about doing the things that you need to do to get better in the ring, whether it's to have a clean run or half of a clean run or a start line stay, is it possible to give up procrastinating on some of those things that you know would get you closer to your goals, engaging in buffering behaviors that you know are keeping you from those goals? Is it possible to give up not showing up? And is it possible to just stick with it? No quitting allowed, just stick with it. As soon as things get uncomfortable or as soon as you experience discomfort, you need to take a moment and pause and get some awareness about how you're feeling in that moment and what your next choice is. Because if your next choice is one of procrastination, buffering, not showing up, or quitting, you're in the sabotage cycle. But if in that moment you feel discomfort and your next decision is one that leads you forward into maybe more discomfort, maybe more unknown, but forward into, I'm going to try this a different way. I'm going to try it better. I'm going to try it again. I'm going to keep getting up early, even though I know I could get, for me personally, guys, I know I have to get up early if I want to get a workout done because my days are so busy. And I'm sorry, I have done the whole, I'm going to get up early every day for 30 days and it'll get better. It does not get better for me after 30 days. It's just a habit. So I do it anyways. I get up, I feel gross, I'm fine after 10 minutes. So if you can give those things up, procrastination, buffering, not showing up, and quitting, you're going to break that self-sabotage cycle. And there's going to be some discomfort involved, but that's totally normal. It can come along for the ride. And frankly, guys, that is where the magic is. I know it, you know it, and it's kind of what we're all after, is that magic. And it's just like I've talked about before, about getting to the edges of your skill level and feeling uncomfortable. The more you do it, the more you embrace it rather than feeling afraid of it, because you know that's where the growth is and that's where your skills grow and that's where the magic is. It gets easier and easier to get there. And we all want to get to that magic space, because that's where those moments that you have with your dog on course and in training that just feel like the best drug ever, that's where those moments happen, is in the edges of your skill level, right on the edge where you're not really sure, you're a little uncomfortable, you've never done it before, you're a little nervous. And then you have these moments where, oh my gosh, this was the most amazing thing ever. So if you can walk forward into that discomfort and give it a hug and just accept that it's there and avoid those big four, procrastination, buffering, not showing up and quitting, you're going to get to that magic spot easier and more frequently. And the discomfort will never go away. Never, never, never. Because as soon as you get comfortable in a space, you're going to move to the edge again, to where that discomfort is. It's sort of like going to the gym. At first, you pick up a 5-pound dumbbell and it's really heavy. It's uncomfortable, but you keep lifting it. And pretty soon that 5-pound dumbbell weighs nothing to you. It's comfortable. And as soon as a 5-pound dumbbell is comfortable, if you want to keep building muscle, you pick up a 7.5-pound dumbbell and there's some discomfort. It's a little uncomfortable, but you keep lifting it repeatedly until doesn't feel like there's any weight. And then you move to a 10-pound weight. So the discomfort never goes away, because the whole point is to get to that space where it's a little uncomfortable. Once it becomes comfortable, shift until it's a little uncomfortable. Once it becomes comfortable, and you just keep shifting and keep shifting and keep shifting. And that's where the magic is. So if we put self-sabotage in the action line of that thought model of objective circumstances, thoughts, feelings, actions, and results, what's the emotion or emotions that you might be avoiding or trying to avoid that might be driving self-sabotage? What's the thought that you're having about yourself that drives you to create problems for yourself or interfere with your own goals? So this is a good time to do a thought dump. And a thought dump, for those of you who are just joining the podcast, is where you go to your computer or your tablet or your phone or a piece of paper, and you write or type or dictate all of the thoughts that you're having, just stream of consciousness. You just dump it out like Dumbledore with his pensieve, where he put the wand to his head in Harry Potter, and then he'd put it in this bowl of water and all his thoughts would go in there and he'd store them for later. I really like using the Notes app on my phone because I can dictate. So I just turn that microphone on. I start dictating. It dictates it all to text. And then I walk away from it after 5 or 10 minutes and I come back and read through it later and see what's going on. And usually it's our lizard brain that is seeking pleasure and seeking comfort and working to take us away from discomfort in some way that is leading us to have these thoughts and feelings that create problems for ourselves that interfere with our goals. So the key is to stay aware, to look at that tiny little moment that happens, and to ask a question. Wait a minute, what's happening right here? What am I feeling right now? And what's my next move? Am I going to indulge in procrastination or buffering or quitting or anything like that? Or am I going to do something else? So stay aware. Ask yourself those questions. Try to let go of the need to control and tamp down those uncomfortable emotions. It's totally okay to just say, all right, well, I guess in this moment I'm feeling lonely, or I'm feeling isolated, or man, I'm feeling really exposed right now. I feel really uncomfortable right now. This is really hard for me. It's okay to just accept those and then keep going. Instead of, wow, I feel really uncomfortable, I'm going to go away from this and get back to a place where I feel better and feel comfortable. Move forward and think to yourself, all right, well, I feel pretty uncomfortable with this thing that I'm doing, but if I do it 5 more times or 10 more times, I'm going to get more comfortable with it. And then I'm going to have to ask myself again, when I encounter the next situation where I'm uncomfortable, what do I do? Do I move into it? Do I move away from it? And also take a moment to appreciate that it's progress, to appreciate that I'm feeling uncomfortable in a new place and I'm feeling comfortable where I was uncomfortable before. Now, here's the crazy thing. Most of us, pretty much all of us, 99% of us would never sabotage anybody else the way we sabotage ourselves. Can you imagine if we engaged in sabotaging activities with other people the way we do with ourselves? None of us are saying or thinking, man, this handler that I'm looking at that's going to the line, they're going to do something amazing on course. I'm going to totally mess it up for them. I'm going to yell something at a critical moment to make this handler totally screw up on course. None of us would do that. That's a horrible thing. None of us, just kind of makes us cringe thinking about it. But we do it to ourselves all the time. We walk into the ring, prepare to do something amazing on course, and then we yell inside our heads things that mess it up for ourselves. So the other thing about this self-sabotage stuff is that we really need to treat ourselves in a way that we would treat somebody else who had asked us for help. If somebody asked us to help them with a training goal or a competition goal, there's no way we would sabotage that person. We'd be there for them. So ask yourself what you would ask somebody else. How can I help? If you say, I don't want to do it, this makes me uncomfortable, ask yourself, how can I help get it done? If you say, I don't feel like it, ask yourself, how can I help you feel like it? If you say, how can I help stop sabotaging myself? Just keep asking those questions. How can I help you with this? How can I help with this? How can I help with this? It feels kind of weird. It might be feel sort of cheesy for you, and it definitely may be uncomfortable, but keep asking yourself. Now, having said all of this, and this goes for pretty much every podcast episode, a lot of the times when you look at somebody who is teaching a particular topic or who's gotten good at teaching a particular subject, whether it's running contacts or ring stress or start line stays or something like that, or mental management, it's because that person has really had to work hard at overcoming that themselves. So I definitely have my moments for sure where I engage in self-sabotage. I for sure have procrastinated. I for sure engage in buffering. I for sure have quit some things. I've done it all. Even now, I am engaged in asking myself questions about some things that I'm doing that self-sabotage. That the phone and whipping out a phone and getting on social media to look busy, that's a small thing that I have really, and it's completely unrelated to agility really, but it's a small thing that I engage in because I feel like if I'm alone, feeling alone and by myself, picking up my phone it's an act of self-sabotage. So anyways, the point is, this is a process. If I don't engage in this process, it gets away from me. It's practice. Practice, as with all things, is key. Awareness is key. I drop the ball, for sure. But practice with this stuff helps build momentum. And momentum makes it easier to go longer without dropping the ball, to go longer without engaging in self-sabotage. And it also makes it easier to pick up the pieces when you do drop the ball. So the more that we practice the act of asking ourselves questions, engaging in emotional management, engaging in awareness, evaluating the thought model to see where we are in terms of our thoughts, feelings, and actions, all of that is a process that if we engage in repeatedly, gets easier. And you drop the ball less often. But it's the goal is never really to figure out how to never, ever drop the ball on this stuff. The goal is just basically, in my mind, to figure out how to get good at picking up the pieces again when you inevitably fail at this stuff. You're inevitably going to have a day where you're just tired or grumpy or whatever. You're going to drop the ball. But with practice, you pick it up again more readily and then continue on. The other thing to point out that may be helpful to you if you're listening to this is that you might be really good at this in one area of your life. You know, I've talked to people who are completely terrified to go into the dog agility ring, but they're neurosurgeons, really accomplished neurosurgeons. And I just think, man, are you kidding me? You're terrified to go into the ring with your dog, but you're completely confident sticking a fork in somebody's brain. So it's totally reasonable that we could be good at this in one area of our lives and not good at this area in another, or not good at this in another area of our lives. And all of this growth mindset stuff and challenge mindset stuff that I just really love talking about so much, it's a very fluid thing. You can be super comfortable with discomfort and risk-taking and edge work in one area of your life and just really timid and worried and anxious and nervous and fixed mindset in another. You can have different mindsets about different areas of your life, and it's pretty normal. Evaluating where you have a more fixed mindset, where you engage in self-sabotage, And becoming aware of that stuff will help you even things out so that you're at your best in more areas of your life. I'm going to keep working at this process, and I hope you will too. It's definitely a process. The process itself can be a little uncomfortable sometimes when we have to ask ourselves questions and evaluate, are you engaging in self-sabotage right now? Is this really, are you, and I have to think about, you know, okay, you're feeling some of these feelings that is, are these thoughts and feelings really true? Take a moment here. Are you just engaging in self-sabotage here? Are you engaging in some indulgent emotions? Are these things really true? Or could you just, you know, pick yourself up and move on? Do something productive. Do something healthy. Do something that's good for your soul. That doesn't mean it feels good, but good for your soul. So I'm going to keep working at this process, and I hope you will too. And I hope you have a great weekend. Today is Thursday. So I always try and make these podcasts available just before people are probably headed out on the road for a weekend. So I hope you have a great weekend, whether you're at a competition or a seminar or a workshop, or maybe just doing nothing at all this weekend, except maybe catching up on other podcast episodes. Have a great one, and I will talk to you later. Bye-bye. If you enjoyed today's podcast and you've got somebody in mind who you're pretty sure could benefit from discussing the things we talked about today, head to the webpage for today's episode, podcast.theagilitychallenge.com/10, and scroll to the bottom. You'll see a section that says Share the Love that has some instructions and links for how to subscribe to and share this podcast, and also how to leave a rating and review in Apple Podcasts. I'm a pretty tech savvy person, but even for me, it was a little tricky. So I've included a how-to link for you at the bottom of the page. So go ahead and head on over to podcast.theagilitychallenge.com/10, subscribe to the podcast, leave a review, and share it with a friend. Also, you can leave a comment below the episode and let me know your thoughts about what we discussed today. I'd love to hear from you and maybe discuss your thoughts on a future episode. Thanks for joining me on the Agility Challenge podcast with Daisy Peel. If you'd like to take your agility training, handling, and mental game to the next level, check out that ebook that I mentioned at the top of the episode. You can get it for free at podcast.theagilitychallenge.com. It's not for sale anywhere, and it's only available to subscribers of my email list. Getting on board with the right mindset when it comes to your dog agility handling and training challenges is a game changer, so make sure you check it out.